Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Today is the lobster show. I'm excited about lobster because, you know, growing up on the East Coast, it was something that was kind of available all the time, and it wasn't such a major expensive issue in the early days, many days ago. In fact, I remember, you know, spending many years and much time out on the end of Long Island, and going to the lobster farms there, and my gosh, you know, in those days you could buy a 1.5-2 pound lobster for $3 or $4, if that much, and it was just plentiful, and it was delicious, and it was just the times that you could do that. And of course, these days lobsters are just a gourmet item still, and a lot of places have lobster specials, especially if you live on the East Coast. And occasionally, a lot of the major markets do lobsters at some sort of special deal. There's a couple of different ones I can think of here on the West Coast that have what they call lobster mania, where they reduce the prices a little bit and you're able to get some really good deals. There's actually a casino in this area that does a Maine lobster festival about 3 times a year, where it's all the lobster that you can eat. It's like $40 or $50 a person. And let me tell you what, I've been to that a couple of times. I've seen people chowing down 5 to 10 lobsters. I mean, you know, it's like they figured, what the heck, I paid the price. It's like a buffet, and they keep it really simple. They basically serve you a lobster with the butter and the lemon and then a little bit of salad and some bread, and that's it. And that's what you call it, and that's how you call it good. Lobster is amazing. It's a delicacy that, you know, people have been eating and fishing for a lot of years, and I'm going to have just a little quick talk with an interview with a lobster fisherman in a little while. It was good friend Neil who took the time to interview a fellow who's been fishing lobsters for a long, long time, and he'll give you his perspective of it. Lobster fishermen has been going on for a long time. Lobsters have been going on for a long time. And I have a couple of little clips, especially another fellow who works really hard at a lobster, and he basically has inherited that business from his family, fifth generation lobsterman. And it's a hard business compared to how it used to be, and for a lot of different reasons. Environmentally, of course, the populations are overfished in a lot of ways and being reduced. And back in Stonington, Maine, for instance, where lobster fishing is the key part of the industry and livelihood for so many people for so many years, you know, it's still a business, and it's still people that have been lobstering for all these years are still doing it. And but also by the wayside, a lot of the young people have finally decided to move on and do other things, especially in technology. So maybe we can invent the lobster app, where you just basically put it on your smartphone and you, you know, that's it. And you go crazy, and you do your lobster fishing and cooking right from there. But I got something even better. Today I want to talk to you about some of the recipes that are around lobsters and that are really, really fantastic to try. And in a little while we'll get to some of the interviews that I have. I remember growing up, in most cases when lobsters were had, in many, many cases they were steamed. and they were cooked live and basically served with a bib, meaning something you tied around your neck so all that butter and lemon stuff didn't go all over your body. I always remember a bowl with some little lemony sort of towels so you can keep your hands and face sort of washed off, because eating a lobster like that, a whole lobster, is a big deal. And most people who really love them will eat every single morsel of the lobster. And if you've eaten a lobster, you know what I'm talking about. You leave no, the piece of lobster uneaten. You've taken out the claws. It's a big deal. And to crack it just the right way and just to get everything out. Now, in a steamed lobster, it really doesn't take very long. And what you'll need to do is you'll need, of course, to get a huge pot of water. And usually it's a good, at least a 10-gallon pot of water. And you're going to get it to a boil. What I like to do in that water, just to give it a little flavor, believe it or not, is right after the boil starts happening, I take two large lemons and I cut them in half and I give them a little bit of a squeeze and I throw them into the big pot of water, which works out really good, and then a little bit of salt. And in some cases, and I know a lot of cases that you'll put a couple of bay leaves in, I've had people that have put some other fresh herbs just to give the water a little bit of a flavor, but frankly, it doesn't do really a lot because, you know, the lobster is completely sealed for the most part. Now, you might think, okay, why am I going to boil this beautiful lobster that I paid $13 a pound for? Well, the whole idea of doing this is to not go into super detail, but you're going to shock the lobster and basically, unfortunately, sort of end its time on the planet as a living lobster. And so by taking that lobster, usually in a lot of cases you'll get them if they're alive. The claws will be rubber banded, and that's okay. You can leave those bands on. You want to do that because a frisky little lobster, the claws can get you, and I've gotten my finger caught in a claw or two over the years, so you have to be real careful. You just take it by the back and just lift it and drop it into the boiling water and slightly cover the pot. Now, what's going to happen is when you get a lobster, it's usually dark colored with a few little specks of, you know, white or green, or and then, you know, you're going to see an amazing process. As soon as you submerge it into the boiling water, you're going to have boiled lobster, you're going to have a lobster that's going to be turning color fairly quickly. And it really will be a matter of about 7 minutes to that boil that you'll cook the lobster. You don't want to overcook it, but that's what it's going to take. Now, a lot of people take a steamer setup and do it that way, and here's the other way. You use the same size pot, and you put a steamer cup, usually it's a cap, with it looks sort of like a strainer, upside down in the pot, and fill the water about 5 inches into the strainer. But you don't want you want to make sure that you have the lobster is going to pretty much be perched on top of the strainer. It's sort of an old trick. Same deal with the herbs and same deal with the lemon, and you'll get the steam water going, and then you'll place the lobster on top of that and cover the pot. Now, warning, it's going to take a little bit longer for your lobster to go bye-bye. And in some cases, you're going to hear what's going to sound like an awful sound, and it may frighten you. Now, look, there are some, I have done this lobster dish a few different times with a few different people over the years, and different people handle it differently. But I've had a couple of situations where people, I say, look, why don't you leave the room? We'll be done in about 15 minutes. Come on back, and we'll have a great dinner. If you remember that great scene in Annie Hall, Woody Allen movie, you'll see, you remember that they didn't get the lobsters in the pot, and the lobsters were crawling behind appliances in the kitchen, and Woody Allen was saying, why don't you put a little drawn butter out there? Maybe it'll come out. It was quite funny. They are, frisky little beautiful creatures. And so, when you're doing the steaming process, again, you have to, leave caution to the wind and be a little careful. Don't stick your hand in there after you drop the lobster in there. Now, once the lobster is done, and you'll know it's done, it'll turn sort of a bright red color. At that point in time, you're going to take it and you're going to stick it on a platter of some kind. And then you're going to get a huge nutcracker. Now, before you start this process, you're going to want to make sure that you draw some butter, which is basically taking a chunk of butter, putting it in a saucepan, just turning it on the minimal heat so it could just melt. You don't want to boil it. And some people like to put a little garlic garlic butter, a little garlic in it, and you can put some fresh parsley in it if you like to do that. And that's it. And, of course, lots of lemons and lots of towels. In some cases, we would take a big picnic table and we would just cover it with a couple of layers of newspaper and get those lobsters right up on the table and do it that way. And we'd cut them up and we'd just pick the meat out with a little lobster fork, dip it in the butter, and deliciousness. Now, there's a couple of things in the lobster that you know clearly you're not going to be able to eat, and it's pretty obvious. You're going to see the tentacles and you're going to see little things like that. You're not going to want to eat those. But there is one part of the lobster that is a sort of a, you get to know about it and you sort of develop a taste for it, and it is the guts of the liver or the insides of the lobster, which is once you open that lobster up, and a lot of people what they do is, besides cracking the claws, they'll take a poultry scissor and they'll go ahead and cut a strip in the belly of the lobster and just cut it open that way, and you'll get some of the meat out. You'll see the guts and the gills, and you're going to pull those away. But you're going to see something that looks sort of like a green, dark green, very, very dark green, sort of massive, liquidy type stuff, and that is going to be the inside of the lobster, and there are some people who love that. And it is a delicious delicacy as part of the lobster. Not for everybody, again. Some people just like that, those claws and all that. They don't want to eat the insides. But trust me, if you've never had it and you're adventurous as far as the foodie is concerned, you may want to take a little taste of it. All right. Now, when you're buying a lobster, you know, in a lot of cases, if you're on the West Coast, where I am, you're not going to have a lot of choices in most cases. And, you know, if you end up getting yourself a lobster that's in you know, from the West Coast, you'll notice that lobsters on the West Coast do not have any, they have no claws or anything like that, and which is really strange. And so you're basically concentrating on eating the tail. And in a lot of cases, when you have lobster available, and they don't have live Maine lobsters, some of the better markets might have them. Some of your fishmongers might have them. You're going to pay, like I said, a fairly good price. You'll end up finding tails in a lot of cases. And tails are, you know, usually shipped frozen, and so there's almost no place in a fish market where you can't buy a frozen lobster tail. But I have to say there's nothing better than doing the whole lobster. Now, one of the things that a lot of people have done with lobsters as far as cooking them, now, the way we were talking about it is taking that whole lobster and cracking it and getting it ready to go, and you're going to dip that in your butter, and you're going to eat it, and it's going to be delicious. Well, there's something called the lobster roll, and on the East Coast, I see it quite often. You're going to, you know, in a lot of cases, see a lot of little stands, and if you looked at the Chef's Order's Foodomania page, you'll see some pictures of some of those great stands. They have something called the lobster roll, and a lot of people are, you know, who do lobster rolls, all have their own method of doing it, but it's a really, really standard thing on the East Coast and delicious, to say the least. It's just something that's really, really incredible. Lobster rolls in general, in most cases, are, it's sort of basically like a sandwich with fresh lobster, and different people have their own way of cooking that. And let me tell you one way that I really, really like, and I think it's something that you'll put it together. First of all, of course, you're going to need some lobster, and you're going to need some good bread. And the way I do it is this, and I like this recipe. It's light, it's delicious, and it's simple. First of all, here are the ingredients you'll need. I want to get a half a cup of non-fat, plain Greek-style yogurt, the really good, thick stuff. Okay, you're going to use that. If you can't find the really thick yogurt, then go ahead and get a little a good plain non-fat yogurt. You're going to use a little bit more of that. So it's a half a cup of non-fat Greek or two-thirds of a cup of regular yogurt. Get 3 tablespoons of mayonnaise. We're going to make sort of like a mousseline. This is the sauce. And 1 stalk of celery. And take that celery and really finely chop it up. And then get a tablespoon of chopped scallions, you know, green onions, about 1 to 2 scallions, and chop them up. I like to use about 1 to 1.5 scallions. I like the flavor of them. A tablespoon or so of fresh lemon juice. Now, your delicious lobster meat, oh, my gosh. Get that lobster meat and, you know, as it's steamed and fresh, and go ahead and you need about believe it or not, about a pound of good lobster meat. So it's going to be one good, nice-sized lobster. Now, if you see 1.5-pound lobster, remember that you're only going to get about 3/4 of a pound of meat, if that much, in it. So, and, you know, again, you know, most lobsters, if you do see a lobster that you can buy in a special, they're usually about 1.5 pounds, maybe 2 pounds. And you're going to spend some money on it, that's for sure. So, and you go, wow, why should I waste the beautiful, expensive lobster on this lobster sandwich? Trust me, it is a phenomenal way to do it. So whatever means necessary that you use to accompany this meat, get about 1 pound of cooked lobster. And remember, I don't like to oversteam it or overcook it. And we're going to tell you a couple other ways to cook lobster in just a few minutes. So about 1 pound of cooked lobster. And you want to cut that lobster in about 1/3 to 1/2 inch pieces. I like to have it kind of chunky. I don't like to shred it and make it small. It's going to end up yielding about 2 to 2.5 cups. Then go ahead and salt and fresh ground pepper this a little bit. And this is the key. In my case, I take about 1 tablespoon of fresh olive oil, virgin olive oil, really nice, and I mix that in. Now, people have different ways of doing this. And if you're using regular yogurt, put it in a strainer and line it with a paper towel and set the strainer over a bowl and let the yogurt drain and let it thicken for about 15 to 20 minutes. If you get the Greek yogurt, you won't have to worry so much. If you're using the Greek yogurt in a bowl, take your Greek yogurt, your mayonnaise, your celery, your scallion, your lemon juice, and go ahead and just put it in a big bowl. Then take your lobster and put it into this mixture and fold it together. Don't be mixing it around like tuna fish. Take a nice big old, you know, spoon or something and just go ahead and toss it, get it all, you know, mixed together. A little bit of salt and white pepper, and then go ahead and stick it in the fridge and chill it a little bit. Now, I've had different people do different things. In some cases, I've taken a little teeny bit of fresh red pepper and I've diced it a little bit and I've tossed it in there, and that's a really delicious way of doing it as well. You can do that. Now, in my opinion, the roll is the most important thing. I've seen lobster rolls served on hot dog buns, whole wheat buns, you know, hamburger buns. Forget it. You want to invest in a really good, fresh-baked sort of hero hoagie or, you know, sandwich roll with a little bit of a crusty, hard crust. I really like those. And you want to get them. They're about 7 or 8 inches long. Go ahead and cut that in half. Now, a couple of people do it differently. Here's what I like to do. I cut a fresh roll in half. I brush it with a little bit of that garlic butter. I put it under the broiler for literally 35 to 45 seconds. And I have a beautifully, not over-toasted, but just warm with a little bit of crunch to it, garlicky, buttery bun. At that point in time, I'm going to scoop my delicious lobster mixture. And, oh, my gosh, I want to have this right now. Okay. And I go ahead and I put all that on top of it. And in some cases, a little bit of olive oil. It's just incredible. And I fill each part of the roll with about 1/2 to 3/4 cup of this incredible lobster mixture. My gosh, you just made one of the greatest things in the world, a lobster roll. Now, if budget doesn't allow, you can also get yourself some really nice medium-sized fresh prawns and clean those really well and do the same process, steam them and cut them in half and mix that into the same mixture too and make it's basically a shrimp roll. And, you know, you may save a little bit of money that way. No problem. Either way, you cannot go wrong. It's going to be delicious and wonderful. All right, what I want to do is I'm going to play you just a little blip of this really, really great talk with this incredible lobster man. Just to give you a taste, first of all, one of the things that I love the best is I love the accent. You know, to me, he has the voice of a typical lobster man, and this is our lobster fisherman, and check what he has to say out. And I wanted to tell you that Neil Workman, who's a great independent guy, was able to talk to Robert Williams, who's been a Maine lobsterman his whole life, and he says that, you know, things are better than ever, in his opinion. So check out what he has to say. This is a quick little deal. Hang on.
the Seafood Show with Robert Williams, who is a fisherman from Stonington, Maine. Tell us about fishing in Stonington, Maine these days.
Fishing couldn't be better in Stonington, Maine.
It is.
Yeah, one of the biggest years we've ever had in years. I've only been 50-something.
Yeah, and the quality's been A1?
The quality is super.
Yeah.
I was just telling another fellow that was buying in the area.
Yeah.
Finally. For some reason, the lobsters are hardening up fast in our area after this year.
That's terrific. And do you think that that's going to continue for a while?
It has been the last several years.
Right.
There's more feed on the bottom, whatever they're hardening up on.
How long can you fish during the year?
Oh, year round.
Yeah, that's what
a lot of fellas. I don't.
Yeah.
I used to go year round.
Yeah.
I go from May to December now.
Yeah. Good.
Inside.
And Maine lobster is very sustainable. We had 93 million pounds we caught.
And in Hancock County, we caught 1/3 of the lobsters in the state of Maine. 31 million pounds.
Really?
One catch.
Yeah. And how long have you been doing it?
50 some years.
And how long are you going to keep doing it?
As long as I go. As long as we're.
That's good. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Neil. Wow, so you're getting just an idea that this year millions of pounds of lobsters in just a small area of Maine. So it doesn't seem like the lobster population is waning anytime soon. And that's a good place to go, the Maine end of area up there, where you really, without a shadow of a doubt, you're definitely getting some really good lobsters. And Robert Williams has been fishing lobsters for 55 years. Not as much as he used to, and they work all year round, even in the cold winter. Wow. All right. It makes me want to jump on a boat. All right. Thank you again, Neil, for that little blip. I wanted to say that in a lot of cases, you're gonna figure out a lot of different ways to do lobsters. And let me tell you one other way, which I really like, and this is a broiled lobster, basically. It's really one of those things where you have when you think about it, you know, this how do I explain it? You have a beautiful piece of meat or fish or something like that. Do you really want to disguise it with you know, sauce? That's what somebody used to get really upset if somebody put steak sauce on a good steak or ketchup on a really good, you know, piece of meat or something like that. In a lot of cases, my gosh, people are going to, absolutely, say, don't do that. It's pure. You want to do the great thing. I'm going to tell you a really quick little, really nice broiled lobster tail recipe, courtesy of my good friend Graham Kerr, who I hope to be having on the show with me in the upcoming weeks, which will be fantastic. And this is a lobster tail recipe, a simple one that he does. And he calls the sauce Armuracane, and I love it. This is it. It started out as a mistake, and that's what he tells me. It was just a total accident. And here's what he did. He does about 1 5.5 to 6 pound lobster. And in this case, he can use like a West Coast lobster, which is the ones without the tail, about 6 tablespoons of clarified butter, about 1/2 cup of diced onion, 1/4 cup of scallions, and thinly sliced scallions, by the way, about 1.5 cloves of garlic, 1/2 cup of diced carrot, and 4 parts of stalks, just chop them up really well, a bay leaf, a little bit of thyme, a little bit of dry thyme if possible, of course, 1/4 cup of brandy, and 1/2 cup of dry white wine, about 5/8 cup, go ahead for almost a whole cup of fish stock, 10 ounces or so of tomato, and just peel it and roughly chop a fresh tomato, a little bit of ground salt, a little bit of ground pepper, and here's the key, a little bit of curry powder, about 1 teaspoon, and 2 egg yolks and a little bit of cream. So 2 egg yolks and about 1/2 let's make it 2 tablespoons of cream. Go ahead and preheat the oven to broil so you get the lobster ready. Take the lobster and remove the head and rinse it well. Remove the claws and the legs. And then remove the meat from the claws and cut them up roughly. Put them aside. This is a lobster that's just recently been, put to sleep, okay, and then break up the lobster shell and split the lobster tail down the center. Careful, don't cut all the way through it. in a large casserole dish, which we use our roasting pan, add 3 tablespoons of the butter and the onion and the scallion and the garlic and the carrot, and go ahead and saute that over a medium heat just for a few minutes. Add the parsley and the bay leaf and the thyme, and then go ahead and add the lobster head and the claws and the legs, all right, and saute until the shells turn bright red. Add the brandy, of course, and take a little fire starter and go ahead and flambe it a little bit. Douse the flames with the wine and the fish stock. It's almost like you're a fireman, but you're or a fireman person, and you're using alcohol to put out your fire. Not really that smart. All right, but using fish stock and a little bit of the wine, it won't catch on fire. Go ahead and add the tomatoes. This is a brilliant recipe. And then go ahead and season with salt and pepper and bring it to a simmer for about 20 minutes. Meanwhile, go ahead and brush the lobster rack with the rest of the clarified butter and place the lobster tail on a rack and the cut side down and broil it for 6 minutes. Turn it and drizzle the side with a little clarified butter and cook it another couple of minutes. You don't want to overcook it. Remove it from the shell and cut it into chunks and keep it warm for a second. Then go ahead and pass the sauce through a strainer or a sieve and then clean the pan. The sauce is going to be a real thin sauce at this point in time, gorgeous. Go ahead and add a little bit of the curry powder and whisk it together with the egg yolks and the cream, and then whisk it into a sauce and make sure you don't curdle it. And my gosh, pour the sauce over the lobster pieces. You will go crazy. That's Graham's incredible way to broil a lobster tail. Now, some people just want to stick butter on it, put it under the broiler, call it good. You can do that too. Some people will put a little breadcrumbs over it and a little and bake it that way. Some people will put more breadcrumbs and more like croutons, and they will have something called a thermidor, and that works out really, really well. There's so many choices with lobster. Now, let me tell you some stuff because we're almost running out of time. We covered a steamed lobster, we covered a delicious lobster roll, and of course we just covered Graham's incredible recipe for a broiled lobster tail, a little bit fancy. Now that whole process of making the sauce and his recipe is something that you want to learn and practice. Most cooks and good chefs make these sauces, they spend a lot of time on it, and of course after they do all the ingredients, they strain it several times to see if they get this nectar, which is based on their fresh herbs and taking the time to cook it over the oven. Oh my gosh. You're becoming a gourmet on Foodomania with Storia. Holy smoky, you lucky? I'm lucky to have you guys listening. All right, here's the deal. If you want any of the recipes, please write me directly at chefstuarto@hotmail.com or send me a message through Blog Talk Radio. Please tune in to www.ksvictorr.org Monday afternoons and Friday nights for my live show, and you'll be able to hear me and you'll be able to call me and you'll be able to talk to me about food there. Make sure you go to 1020radio.net. That's www.1020radio.net and check into my live shows there. It's my station. I'm broadcasting about 4 hours a day. You can get online and look at the schedule there anytime and see what's going on. We're upping our broadcast time, and we're going to be up to about 10 hours a day within about 2 weeks, so we're excited about that, with some other really, really great cooks and food people as well. Hey, I'm out of time. Thank you. Make sure you get in touch with me if you have to through Blog Talk Radio, and I'll be with you. Bye. See you next week.